Hello, and welcome to Health Centers on the Front Lines, the podcast where we tell stories about the remarkable progress community health centers are making in bringing high-quality, whole-person care to people in medically underserved neighborhoods across the country. I'm Alex Walker with NACS Communications Division. Today, we are beginning a three-part series of conversations about an epidemic health centers have been on the front lines of addressing for decades, HIV and AIDS. In this episode, HIV expert Nick Diamond leads a conversation about new evidence-based strategies for preventing HIV transmission. Guests on this episode are Dr. Robin Fanfare, the Acting Division Director, Division of HIV Prevention, with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Juan Carlos Lubriel, Director of Community Health and Wellness at Whitman Walker Health, a community health center in Washington, D.C., and Craig Thompson, CEO at Apla Health, which runs a community health center in Los Angeles. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
I want to start with Robin by asking you, really, what excites you the most about the new evidence-based strategies introduced for people who are HIV negative and want to stay that way?
Thanks to a robust toolbox that includes pre-exposure prophylaxis, post-exposure prophylaxis, treatment as prevention, and syringe service programs, we now have more tools than ever available for HIV prevention. To realize the full potential of these tools, we understand how important it is to make sure that it gets into the hands of everyone who needs them. So what excites me a lot right now is a status-neutral approach to HIV prevention, which we believe can really help improve access, reduce stigma, and help prioritize health equity. So as far as exciting strategies go, it's really about reframing how we think about traditional HIV service models to better reach people where they are with the services that they need. So no matter their HIV status, we know that people need similar healthcare needs as well as essential support services. These can include medical care, housing, transportation, and employment. A status-neutral approach can create a one-door approach for HIV prevention and treatment, which can help normalize both. It eliminates HIV stigma by integrating prevention and care instead of supporting separate systems. And we believe it can enable people to know their status by making HIV testing and next approaches, whether they're behavioral or biomedical prevention, more accessible, and it can advance health equity by connecting people to a variety of services that they need, regardless of their HIV status. So those are just a few things that I think are really exciting in HIV prevention right now.
And Juan Carlos, I want to turn it over to you to ask about your experience and programs at Whitman Walker. Would you talk a little bit about what your health center is doing to improve HIV prevention services in the community? I know Robin just talked about this toolkit. Are you seeing the implementation of things in those toolkits at the health center?
Yes, indeed. We are very excited about this new approach. Whitman Walker Health delivers tailored education and sexual health services that are sex positive and inclusive. Our training and linkage efforts are community-based service delivery interventions. They promote access to effective tools for HIV prevention and timely diagnosis. We also provide immediate access to NPEP and PrEP for HIV prevention. We provide early diagnosis and prompt linkage to medical care, including ART. And these efforts occur alongside treatment of HIV and other chronic diseases. We strive to eliminate barriers to care. And to do this, we deliver status-neutral services and connect clients to medical, behavioral health, harm reduction, and social services through customized risk reduction. Staff provide health literacy and education for clients on understanding and navigating the medical system at every stage of the care continuum. And we need to understand that education is also a necessary component to normalize conversations around sex. So we want to encourage clients' active participation in care decisions so they can make informed decisions about their sexual health and HIV risk. And these services help move these clients along the continuum from prevention to care. And there are entry points to care in each of our programs.
One thing that's really exciting about this conversation is that we're convening a really diverse group of stakeholders from government to community health centers in the response to HIV. And Juan Carlos, I might ask if you have a question for Dr. Fanfare related to HIV prevention from your perspective, working in community health, you know, with an opportunity to engage government.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Dr. Fanfare, over the past 40 years, there have been many HIV prevention best practices, including condom use and PrEP. And my question is, what do you see as an HIV prevention best practice coming in the next decade and beyond?
Well, I think there could be so many. I do think one that is of interest, and it also ties in a little bit to our upcoming question. But when we really look at the revolution, I would say, in treatment modalities, it's been remarkable. So this year, we know, marks one decade since pre-exposure prophylaxis was approved. And we know that there's still incredible gains to be made in making sure that that's accessible to all people, as we know that there's still very large racial and geographic disparities that we see in PrEP uptake. But I'm very excited about the investigation and research going into even longer modalities. So if we've just seen long-acting injectables for pre-exposure prophylaxis approved almost 1 year ago, and I know that there's a lot of investigations going on into six-month injections or even implants that could be there longer. So I'm really excited to see over the next decade even longer-acting modalities for pre-exposure prophylaxis, while we also work very critically to make sure that all of these new modalities are able to reach all populations equitably.
So Robin, you just spoke about some of these new tools in our toolkit for people who are HIV negative. And I also want to ask you about some of the new and exciting evidence-based strategies that are now working for people living with HIV to achieve undetectable status and maintain viral suppression.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's really critical that people with HIV continue to have access and remain in ongoing high quality care and continue to receive support services that they need. One exciting strategy is that treatment is prevention, and we now know that undetectable equals untransmittable, or U equals U. Just as we were talking about with prevention, with treatment, in addition now to several one pill, once a day antiretroviral regimens, there are now long-acting injectables that are available to help maintain viral suppression. The National HIV-AIDS Strategy, or NHAS, recently released a new quality of life indicator, and we believe this will be really critical to assess quality of life measures such as housing, employment, food security, and self-rated health, because we know there's more to overall well-being than just viral suppression. A status-neutral framework really encourages a comprehensive, whole-person assessment of a person's unique situation, allowing for more tailored interventions. As we spoke before, we really believe that a status-neutral approach can help limit stigma. And regarding stigma, if someone has HIV, they may not feel comfortable visiting an HIV-focused provider. They may be concerned about the possibility of being defined only by their HIV status, and they can encounter providers who may not take into consideration all of the other factors that affect their health. So for a person with HIV, in a status-neutral approach, healthcare providers can obtain key information to better link persons to health-related and wraparound services, which will help keep them engaged in care, which can improve their ability to maintain a low or undetectable viral load.
Craig, I'd like to also bring you into this conversation in thinking about your work at APLA Health. Could you talk a little bit about your health center and the HIV care program?
Sure. I think the first thing we need to acknowledge is that we talk about the HIV epidemic, but the HIV epidemic is really HIV epidemics. And our epidemics are very different in parts of the country, who we serve, where the growth is, the number of women impacted, for example, the number of injection drug users impacted, for example, is very different. So I'm coming from Los Angeles, which is an epidemic that has been from the very beginning driven by gay men and gay and bi men and members of the trans community. So in Los Angeles, the demarcation for us has never been HIV positive and HIV negative in care. It's been around connecting people to LGBTQ plus services. So we market our services as LGBTQ plus friendly, competent, and that brings in HIV negative folks and HIV positive folks into the same services, into the same sites, with the same providers. And so we've been doing status neutral care from that perspective for many, many years. What we do find, though, is that primary care in a very busy community health center can take a while. And as much as we try to streamline the approach, what we've done now is tried to pull out sexual health services, PrEP services, whether for folks who are HIV negative or HIV positive in the case of STD services, and create a streamlined approach to get people in and out for sexual health services. So they're not in the primary care model. They're in the same site, but they're in what we call our Sexual Health Express clinic. And that's been really helpful. We also are looking a lot at continuing to use telehealth in a way to accelerate people's options, and also partnering with labs where we're now sending clients directly to the lab for their PrEP labs, including their collection of their swabs. And then our provider is even able to have a telehealth visit with that patient, renew their PrEP script, and keep them going. Because our big challenge, and I think it's a challenge for everyone, is not necessarily for both populations, both PrEP and people who are HIV. It's not getting them into initial care, it's retaining them in care and having them continue on PrEP, you know, for the second year and the third year. The same thing with our HIV folks. We just have too many people drop out of care, and they say that it's because it's burdensome, it's difficult, transportation challenges, it takes a lot of time. So we're really looking at ways to use technology to streamline that and really meet the patient where the patient is.
So Craig, I really like your reframing of thinking about HIV as epidemics, not epidemic, and maybe, you know, pandemics, not pandemic, because there are so many different types of outbreaks in different communities and different responses to those outbreaks. And I'm sure that's something that Robin is thinking a lot about in her work. And perhaps there's a question you might have for her about care and treatment for people living with HIV.
Yeah, I think what I would ask is what we can do better to help providers address the stigma. And I'm interested in knowing what CDC and what other efforts there are to get the providers really on board with this program.
Thank you, Craig. Yes, I think I completely agree. We have an entire capacity development brand, something that we have, you know, a branch and notice of funding awards that we would be working on. So I completely agree when that comes to status neutral. In addition to syndemic models is also something that's a huge health focus for us and a priority for us here at CDC, and making sure, as you said, with different populations, but also with syndemic. And I'll just say I had the joy of being in your city, Los Angeles, a few weeks ago for Pacha to the People. And it was so powerful to be able to have three visits to community-based organizations. So to be able to go directly to community-based organizations that were led by communities that are disproportionately impacted by HIV and to be able to hear directly from them about the incredible programs that they're able to offer in the community. So I just wanted to say I had the wonderful opportunity to do that after the heat wave that was a few weeks before. So it was wonderful.
Well, Robin, you just reflected on your time in LA engaging with community-based organizations. And I think our last question for you is to better understand what your number one message to community health centers is for those seeking to contribute to ending the epidemic and eliminating HIV health disparities.
Absolutely. Well, I would start with thank you. Thank you for all of the care that you provide for the community. And thank you for all of the work that you do. I know that it's extraordinarily difficult right now, as we were speaking about before, with different public health emergencies such as COVID-19 and Mpox impacting our communities. I'll say that in addition to the work that I do at CDC, I also have the honor of serving as a primary care provider for veterans living with HIV. So thank you so much for the frontline work that you're doing. I think that the number one thing to remember is that meeting HIV prevention goals will require everyone to adopt new and innovative ways of delivering HIV-related services. In 2019, only 58% of people with HIV in the United States were retained in care. And only 66% of people with HIV in the United States were virally suppressed. And as of 2020, only 25% of people who would benefit from PrEP were prescribed it. And as we've spoken about before, even within that 25%, there are vast disparities. So there's really a lot of work to do. The data shows that there continue to be gaps in prevention and care, and that there's an urgent need to improve early detection of HIV, improve PrEP uptake, and really ensure that individuals with HIV are receiving ongoing treatment and can get virally suppressed. Getting started doesn't need to require a complete overhaul. We heard it today from Craig and Juan Carlos, some of the innovative strategies that they're implementing in their health centers. Implementing HIV prevention activities can be in places where people are already seeking care. Sexual health services, family planning clinics, mental health and behavioral services, and maybe where they're seeking gender-affirming care. We can make it easy for people to access care in non-traditional settings that maybe don't require an appointment, such as pharmacies or mobile health units.
So Juan Carlos, how does that messaging resonate with you and your colleagues and your patients or clients at Whitman Walker?
We need to recognize that there is an enduring stigma that prevents patients from having open conversations about sexual health and HIV status, and undermines their efforts to seek care. And I'm talking about more priority populations. And we need to understand that negative experiences with service providers often cause patients to disengage. So there are many barriers that lead to this disengagement. My encourage to health centers also is to work to identify and eliminate these obstacles with the status neutral approach, as Dr. Fanfare mentioned, and that improves tailored care and service provision for patients and eliminate the structural stigma by meeting these individuals where they are and offer a whole person approach to care. And lastly, status neutral health education and risk reduction interventions are integral to high quality care for those in need. And to be most effective, social services must be customized for specific focused population rather than delivered with one size fits all approach. And this definitely will allow all our community health centers to connect with the community and create opportunities for new clients to establish a link with the healthcare centers and gain access to many programs and services available.
And Craig, lastly, from your side, how does this message from Robin resonate with you and your colleagues and your patients and clients at APLA Health? And are there things that you're hearing from Juan Carlos that are also resonating with you?
Absolutely. I also would say that I think that as we look at what Dr. Fanfare mentioned about looking at alternate sites, STD clinics and things, I also think it's important that as we're looking at the strategy, the ending the epidemic strategy and HRSA and other activities rolling out a lot of money into health centers towards ending the epidemic, that health centers find a natural fit for their place in this overall strategy. So, for example, we really need, our health centers are not testing everybody routinely for HIV. They're not testing everybody routinely for STDs. They should be, but in practice, they're not. And it's also, I think it's okay to tell health centers and to work with health centers, we don't need to build HIV and PrEP capacity in every health center, but we need that expertise in enough health centers that we cover a geographic area. So again, if you're in, you know, a rural part of the country, you have to do it all because you're the only option. But in Los Angeles, there's no reason that all of our health centers, we have 57 health centers here. There's no reason that all 57 of them should be doing HIV care or even PrEP care, but they should be testing all of their clients and they should be screening for STDs and they should be referring. I personally believe we need to keep that expert network that we created over these years of HIV expertise and PrEP expertise. And we need to get the message out there, identify everyone, and then make sure we link them to the place that is best for them, which may be a change from where they've been receiving their health care in the past. Because I don't think we have the resources to develop HIV and PrEP expertise in every FQHC, every community health center in the country. So why not use the expertise that Whitman Walker has developed over 40 years, right? And refer patients to Whitman Walker. I think it's also, as Juan Carlos said, moving them into that network moves them into a network where status neutral care is natural, where all these things we've been talking about for years, and I think the patients will be more comfortable and will be more likely to retain them in care if they are in places where they really have a good fit with the provider, with the mission, with the other patients, and with their community.
If you like this episode, please rate it, subscribe, and share it with your network. Health Centers on the Front Lines is a podcast series brought to you by the National Association of Community Health Centers, a strategic partner in the Technical Assistance Provider Innovation Network. The Technical Assistance Provider Innovation Network is a project of Ciccatelli Associates, Inc., funded by the Health Resources and Services Administration, HIV/AIDS Bureau. To learn more, visit targethiv.org.
Produced by HeartCast Media.